Previously, on Reunion, Shark Attacks in Paradise.
Oh, we were very scared, that's true. But the waves were empty. And sometime when it was very good, we were so happy to be able to surf because we knew that maybe tomorrow could be different. So we were enjoying the fact to surf together, just alive. Maybe the person which you are sharing your surf session maybe won't be there tomorrow.
We were already the underground surfing, but these guys were the underground of the underground because they pretend they could surf even the worst. So I was pretty angry after that because I was like, well, my friends are going totally crazy. We are all gonna die at the end.
I don't think it's a secret at this point that my personal sympathies in the Reunion Island shark crisis lay with the surfers. I can't help it. That's just my truth. And I even had a lot of sympathy for people like Coralie and Raton and Laurie LeConstant, who kept surfing right on through the worst of the crisis. But while those sympathies never waned, not even a bit, I did become curious at a certain point about where the limit was. Like, what could make a person quit surfing? Because sure, in 2015, after the deaths of Talon and Elio, there was a sea change in government response. That new shark security center ramped up, catching more and more sharks on drum lines and testing everything from aerial shark surveillance drones to military sonar, capable of detecting a single shark underwater at 150 meters. But shark attacks also kept coming. Only months after Elio Canestri's death, Christophe Molkin caught a wave at Saint-Leu and was shooting down the line when another surfer caught the same wave up ahead of him. That's an etiquette breach in surfing. So Christophe yelled, and the guy did the right thing and pulled out the back of the wave and promptly got an arm bit off as Christophe rode past. And then in 2016, the town of St. Paul spent millions on a pair of half-mile nets designed expressly to keep sharks out of two surf spots. Surfing's back, huge nets, until a bull shark somehow found one small hole in one of these nets, swam through, bit a guy's arm and leg off, and then swam back out through the same hole. And then almost the same thing happened at the other net. Small gap, shark, chomp, although thankfully just on some poor guy's bodyboard, not his actual body. Surfing was also still outlawed. Jean-François Nativelle had his two shark safety associations, OPR and PRR, telling everybody that surfing was just way too dangerous. And yet, people like Coralie and Raton kept at it. Raton even started a parody association dedicated to what he called reappropriating the surf, called MDR, as in mort de rire, or die laughing, which is sort of the French LOL. But Raton was also dead serious. He sincerely believed that if surfers stuck to clear water in high sun, in groups of at least four people, all outfitted with swim goggles for looking underwater, the risk wasn't bad. And there was actually even a gnarlier crew that laughed at Raton for being so uptight and pretty much dealt with all that shark fear by doing whatever the hell they wanted, whenever they wanted. I'm Dan DeWayne, and this is Reunion, Shark Attacks in Paradise, Episode 13, Death of the Underground. First up, a word about that term, underground. In surf culture, an underground ripper or charger is someone who surfs as well and ferociously as most pros, but stays out of the limelight, right? Keeps it pure. On Reunion Island, though, underground took on an additional meaning. total commitment to dodging cops and swallowing shark fear to chase the best possible waves. And now, that said, allow me to introduce an old, dear, and super underground friend of Raton's, Luca Vergne, world record holder, I mean, if there was such a world record, for most shark attacks ever witnessed by a single human being.
I witnessed my first shark attack when I was 16.
Oh.
A friend of me lost his right leg at... the first one that I witnessed was on the East Coast.
Oh.
During a competition. It was the first competition that they held down there, and they had an attack, and I was in the water with the guy, so I took him out of the water. And then 6 months later, one of my best friends lost his leg at Saint-Pierre at a place called the Pic du Diable. And then I carried on my passion because I was such into it, and I couldn't, for me it was like no way I could stop it. And so I witnessed my third shark attack here in 2013. It was a swimmer, but Tanguy, yeah, he's like a family mate. So yeah, I was on the beach when he got attacked, and I was here to help.
Here, wasn't it?
It was just in front of us.
Wow.
Yeah, and so after that, myself, I got charged here by a very small shark. 6 months right before that, at the exact same spot. It's
attacked by a fairly small shark.
Yeah, like, and he bounced away, like if he just, how to say that, he bounced off like a meter off me. Yeah, I carried on, and the last shark attack that I witnessed was in Saint-André in 2017.
Saint-André, where's that?
It's on the northeast.
On the northeast?
Was that, yeah. Alexandre Nosac.
Yeah.
And then this
you
one...
You were in the water?
Or? Yes, this one was like the most intense that I had to witness. I was a meter off him. We were only both in the water, surfing.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I was just like as close as I am to you. And he got absolutely destroyed by this bull shark.
Get in the picture? Four shark attacks with his own eyes. And yet, here's the point. The whole reason I'm talking to this guy, even with that appalling personal track record and all those other shark attacks going on around him, just immediate view, Luca went a step further than Coralie and Raton and became a bonded member of that even gnarlier crew, the one Raton called the Underground Underground. Which, by the way, according to Raton, formed on the east coast of the island. Here's Raton.
Because we were already the underground surfing, but these guys were the underground of the underground because they pretend they could surf even the worst.
Now, if you're thinking we haven't been talking much about the east coast, that's because we haven't. Because remember, the east side of Reunion is the rainy, wet side, where rivers carry tons of muddy water out into the sea at these muddy river mouths that are perfect for bull sharks.
Because river mouth equals bulldog, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's always been the case. So you don't surf a river mouth in Reunion Island. No, never, well, apart from the 80s, 90s, and before 2010. But now there's been already so many fatal attacks. It's not the right time to go surf a river mouth in the east, you know.
Yeah. But a small hardcore crew of local east side guys kept right on surfing there, muddy river mouths and all. And a small handful of west siders started joining them, including Alexandra Nosac, mutual friend of Luca, Raton, and also Coralie, who told me she was sort of almost dating him at one point, kind of dating adjacent, I think.
Alexandre was somebody very funny. He was very tall. tall guy. Very handsome, of course. He was very great bodyboarder. Very, very good. And he had always a big smile, always happy. It was really the beginning, like sending some text. Because we were friends, just used to surf together. And one day I said, okay, he's nice.
One of my closest friends at the time.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. Because he was like younger than me, but very, very, very passionate and very strong too. So he was not the kind of guy that would stop surfing, you know. I was trying to play the elder brother role for him. Mm-hmm. Because he was younger and crazy, a bit crazy, you know, but at the same time clever. So he was like, he agreed with me that we had to go on surfing, but we had to be very watchful, you know.
Have you ever felt like escaping to your own desert island? Jane Gaskin did exactly that, trading in the family home to begin a new life in the tropics. But she soon discovers that paradise has its secrets. I'm Alice Levine, and this is The Price of Paradise, the island dream that ends in kidnap, corruption, and murder. Wish you were here? Follow The Price of Paradise now, wherever you listen to podcasts.
Every day in America, 60 million packages are delivered. But we don't always know what's inside.
He bent down to pick the package up. That's when the device detonated.
Danger is everywhere, and no one is safe in Austin, Texas, as law enforcement hunts a serial bomber for 19 days. From Sony Music Entertainment, Campside Media, and Pegalo Pictures, this is Witnessed. 19 Days. Subscribe on Apple Podcasts to binge all episodes or listen weekly wherever you get your podcasts.
We felt like an army, you know, resistant, you know, during the war and all that. Because even the surfers, most of the surfers were saying we were stupid and crazy, you know.
What about your relationship with Jean-François Nativelle? How did he feel about you continuing to surf?
I can tell you a long chapter about Nativelle, because we ended up being opposed. He chose to be on the side of the guys who were saying, don't go back. We've got to fix the problem first. And I was saying like, no, we won't say fix this fucking problem. So let's go. You know, we're not going to wait. So they started to say, yeah, you're crazy. You know, you and your friends, you're going to make other guys die. You know, it's going to be your fault. There was Nativelle saying you should stop. So we felt really like a little army, and each guy was very precious, you know, because there was not many of them.
Alexandre Nosac, or Crapaud, as Raton called him, was initially game for these goggle surfing sessions, going out together and taking turns, keeping an eye out for sharks underwater. And what can you tell me what happened to him?
He followed the bad... but a bad group, I'd say, because there was an underground team that would say that our belief that we can keep on surfing, but only in clear water, this is bullshit. Because we've got a good star, we are legends, so we can go on surfing in murky waters, because the shark respect us, you know? And we know more than the guys who says that you get to surf clear water. And Krapp and Alexandre Nosac was so passionate that he was like in between listening to me or these guys. But the day when this guy told him, let's go to the East Coast, There's a crazy spot over there. So we got to go there and surf because it's like maybe one of the best waves that ever happened in Reunion Island.
Oh.
Which was kind of true because it was like a very rare kind of spot, you know, a river mouth like this. We're not used to it here because river mouth equals bulldog. You got to be crazy.
Crazy for good waves, that is. And Alexandre Nosac very much was. Luca Vergne, too. So Luca and Alexandre Nosac and some other underground guys drove out there. It's a remote spot, and camped on the beach for days to surf their brains out.
And our friends bodyboarding from the East Coast, they called us and they were like, "Whoa, guys, you must come and give a look to this setup. It's just fucking amazing. Like, it's just out of the place." So we got there to just realize that the river mouth exploded in a way that it made this big dome, this big thing, and coming down like for like maybe 400 or 500 meters. And it was, I don't know if you're much into waves.
Of course, I surf
okay.
A lot. Yeah,
so
yeah.
It created this monster slab.
Okay, surfer term of art, slab. That's pretty core lingo. It refers to a wave that breaks so hard and abruptly in such shallow water that the wave face stands up almost square, like a vertical stone slab before it slams down.
Just building up. It was just like the peak was like a big slab, a big spit.
Another term of art, spit. A wave breaking hard enough to barrel, you know, to make a spinning hollow tube that a surfer can ride inside, will sometimes spit out a huge bolus of spray and foam. And surfers love that too. It's got a great sort of dragon's roar quality, like the beast is spitting. And also in this case, the wave built up speed, going faster and faster.
And then building up, second speed, building up, third speed.
Oh,
like,
God.
The best wave I had there was maybe like a 25 seconds barrel.
Tube rides are a big deal in surfing. Even most great ones only last a few seconds, though. And the number of surfers who've ever had a legit 10-second tube ride can't be more than a few hundred. So what Luca is describing here, and I've seen video, it's legit, is maybe among the half dozen best waves in the world, arguably better than Saint-Leu.
But like one or two major speed, like, I get goosebumps, man. Like I never surfed waves like this on Reunion Island, honestly. Like it was just out of control. Like honestly, you were just like dropping and just falling into like a full-on snapper rock type of wave, like a sheer rock.
But you know what's coming next. Luca and Alexandra in the water together, sitting on their boards, side by side, just a few feet apart.
And I was just like, as close as I am to you, and
wow.
He got absolutely destroyed by this bull shark. Like, he was a guy, like, he was like 2 meters high. He was a really strong and thick guy, like a super athletic guy. And like, when the shark attacked him, the shark bounced on him, like, and the entire body of the shark came out of the water vertically and came and dropped back on his back, like laying on the back like this with his mouth full taken on the body. I don't know if I'm clear enough. Like,
yeah, no,
it
I understand.
It was like a little second, but it was such a big one. Like, honestly, this scene was so incredible. And then,
so
like,
what did you do? Yeah,
I was just like, I was almost able to take him on the arm, but I was like with the shark laying on his back, like shaking all the way. And
the shark was shaking?
Yes, yeah. On his back, like laying on the surface of the water.
Wow.
how to say that, the scream that Alexandre made was like some of the most traumatizing thing that I've heard, like I had to live in, honestly, like it was so strong.
And it's my actual boyfriend who called me the day that happened. And he told me, did you saw Facebook? Somebody call you today? I said, what are you talking about? I just arrived at work. So what's happened? And he told me that there are shark attacks again. And I said, what? Where, when? And he said, you know the guy, you know him very well. And then my boyfriend told me it was Alex. Because he knows the story. And he called me to, he tell everybody, don't say that to Coralie, I have to do it. And that's it.
I learned that he was over there with the guys when after he's dead, like the day he died. People said, yeah, there's been an attack in the East. And then we learned it's Alexandre. I said, fuck, he went there.
Luca told me this made him feel awful. He knew Raton would not approve, and Raton's opinion mattered to him.
Raton is like one of the biggest influence that I had since a kid. He's a super clever guy, a super bodyboarder, and I always looked up to him. I don't know, man. I always loved this guy so much, man. He's like so inspirational and like intellectually is like an uncle to me. I haven't seen him since a while now, and I think he doesn't surf much anymore.
He doesn't, no.
But he runs a lot now.
Yeah.
He's a fucking legend. But if he knew that we were surfing there, he would yell at us. Not yell, but he would be in like just sarcastical, like, what the fuck is wrong with you guys? Like, yeah, the wave can slab and spit and blah, 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 but are you okay in there?
Yeah.
If I had to do it again, I would come up there just to yell at my friend to say, just don't look at the waves and let's all come back home. Now I've stopped surfing a bit, because it was too strong in terms of senses.
Yeah.
Like what I heard was the worst, his scream.
Yeah.
And what I saw, to see someone ripped in three parts like this, like in 15 seconds. Yeah.
It must be very hard to heal from this.
Well, to be honest, 2 months after that, I left to France.
Yeah.
And 2 months after that, some friends took me to party in south of France.
Yeah.
And I discovered music, electronic music.
Yeah.
And it was just like a roller coaster to me. And now I'm DJing a lot.
Oh.
Yes.
Oh.
And it's like a new passion for me, and
man,
I'm
man.
So into it.
That's right. No more surfing for Luca, DJing instead. As for Raton, he kept surfing for about 3 months after the death of Alexandre Nosac.
So after that, his friend Adrien Dubosc decided that he was going to take revenge and keep on surfing dangerous spots in the name of his friend Alexandre Nosac.
Yet another underground guy. In other words, yet another mutual friend of Raton, Coralie, and Luca. And now, with Alexandre dead, going even harder into underground commitment, his eyes now set on Reunion's other half-secret, even better than Saint-Lô wave, Pointe aux Selles, or Salt Point, a super long grinding left-hand barrel over coral reef. And yes, in relatively clear water, on the West Coast, without a river mouth, but close to a huge drop-off into deep water and known to be sharky. So when a big swell was forecast to hit Pointe aux Celles at the same time as a big winter storm, Craton was both tempted and worried.
And I was text messaging Adrien the day before, and we were saying, yeah, okay, tomorrow we got to check in the morning. And I was like, yeah, let's go check. But one thing I can tell you, and you know it, I was telling him, you know that it's going to be dangerous tomorrow, you know?
Oh.
So if we go there, we have to be with at least 3 or 4 guys. All of them have to put their fucking head underwater, and we have to make sure it's clear. If it's not clear, we have to get out. And that day, a Saturday, on the morning, like the cold front hit the west coast, and it rains south of the spot. You know, in when there's rain and wind and swell like this, it's a cold front, and it's what they love, you know, the bulldog shark. So we know that if we go surf there, it's like a matter of life and death.
Braton was not feeling it. Way too sketchy, way too soon after Nosak's death. So Raton did the prudent thing and did not call in sick for work. He was a lifeguard by then. Adrien, though, drove to Pointe aux Celles and found 3 other guys willing to surf. So he texted Raton, let's go. Raton texted back.
I sent a message to Adrien and I said to him, no surfing today for me, you know. It's too dangerous. He told me when he decided to go around 10 a.m. and sent me the message to show me that I was, you're missing out, you should have come. So he goes in the water, and another friend of mine, a very careful guy, goes to check the spot, and he sees that there's 3 guys in the water, you know. And to him, it's very dangerous. And so he's like, well, I'm gonna phone my friend, to tell me these guys are in and maybe try to motivate me to come. But he phones me and he's like, fuck yeah, it's crazy here. And the attack happens while he talks, you know, in front of him. And yeah.
Is he saying, did he say to you on the phone, something's happening?
Yeah. He's like, Roquin. He says, Roquin, shark.
Now, it turns out that yet another underground guy, Laurie LeConstant, the one who, you know, showed me around Reunion, was also planning to be there, but like Raton, got a bad feeling, and in his case, jumped on a plane last minute to go surf in Indonesia instead.
I love that wave, and I was supposed to maybe be with them, and I left the day before. And Adrien was a good friend,
yeah.
Not my best friend, but I appreciate the guy.
Yeah.
Really, really shy and humble, charging, and yeah. The wave was really firing, and it gave a really good wave to a mate, a bodyboarder mate. Said, yeah. Go, it's for you, go. And he was alone on the lineup. And the guy got the best barrel right down. He turned around, he heard a scream, big scream. And the sharks have a leg. And screaming. So they were far, but they tried to paddle to him, get it on the board, and then he passed away. And a big set came like 3-4 meters and washed them all down the point. And they tried to get the body on the sand, but he got no much time and he passed away in the water.
Jean-François Nativelle was not impressed by this.
Raton, you know, is a playboy. Uh-huh. Every girl love Raton. So Raton is intelligent people, but he do a lot of, you know, Raton in 2013, when I said to everybody, don't go in the water, Raton said, go in the water. And people go, people die. And after, when I saw Raton, I say, yeah, good job, bro. The last one in 2017, Adrien Dubos, Alexandre Nosac, is a son of Raton, a spiritual son of Raton. It's people who never stop because they are strong, even if they are in water, but they are died now. But last time I saw him, I say, hey, Raton, now you have a children. You get a children two or three years ago and said, now, as you are children, go in the ocean with your children and we'll see if you can have your reappropriation and all bullshit he say for years.
And now, to be fair to Raton, none of that was lost on him. He knew he was implicated. He told me that right up front, and he clearly struggled with it. But Raton also had a code, a way of doing things that felt safe. And it hurt that his buddies just wouldn't adhere to that code anymore. It sucked.
So I was pretty angry after that because I was like, well, my friends are going totally crazy. We are all gonna die at the end, or maybe not me, but all of them. So let's just, let's just stop, you know. And I didn't stop surfing, but I lost interest into surfing because it became too much of a game of, life and death. And then I lost interest and I haven't been surfing a lot since then. So to say, my surfing career has stopped at the end of 2017. And I fell in love with trail running. Trail running is big here in Reunion. Yeah. And I found a way to push my limits in a new discipline. And I decided, let's stop this wave chasing. You know, it's becoming too dull. You know, dark. You know, doesn't lead anywhere now. Everybody's. And so other guys kept on surfing at the moment. Surf is back in Reunion, you know. We've got each summer more and more people go back thanks to the shark shield and all that.
Okay, one final term of art, shark shield. That's a brand name, but also a kind of catch-all term for electronic personal shark protection devices, high-tech gear that you wear in the water to scare away sharks that may or may not actually work, and that I got a chance to test drive when Laurie LeConstant talked me into trying one. Coming up next on Reunion, Shark Attacks in Paradise.
Is that French or Creole?
Both. Yeah. Some words and some slang. Yeah. You sure don't want to surf? I got three boards in the back.
God damn! Yeah,
that's the good setup. Oh, this thing, it's very powerful.
What is very powerful?
It's like sunset, you know?
It is?
Reunion, Shark Attacks in Paradise is a production of Hyper Object Industries, Little Everywhere, and Sony Music Entertainment. It's written, reported, and hosted by me, Dan Duane. Executive produced by Adam McKay, Claire Slaughter, Harry Nelson, Dan Gallucci, and Jane Marie. Produced and engineered by Joy Sanford, Mike Richter, Dan Gallucci, and Jane Marie, with help from Zaylee Mahone. Edited by Dan Gallucci and Jane Marie. All final mixes by Mike Richter. Reunion, Shark Attacks in Paradise was interpreted by James Christie and Pauline Chardin. Special thanks to all of our voice actors, Fred Giel, Sandrine Ristello, Giulio Mendi, and Marley Otto, and to the many people on Reunion Island that helped make all of this possible.